All right, our second reading is 2 Samuel chapter 10. Please turn with me there. Second Samuel chapter 10, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. And it came to pass after this that the king of the children of Ammon died, and Hanun, his son, reigned in his stead. Then said David, I will show kindness unto Hanun, the son of Nahash, as his father showed kindness unto me. And David sent to comfort him by the hand of his servants for his father. And David's servants came into the land of the children of Ammon. And the princes of the children of Ammon said unto Hanun their lord, Thinkest thou that David doth honor thy father, that he hath sent comforters unto thee? Hath not David rather sent his servants unto thee to search the city and to spy it out and to overthrow it? Wherefore Hanun took David's servants and shaved off the one half of their beards and cut off their garments in the middle, even to their buttocks, and sent them away. When they told it unto David, he sent to meet them because the men were greatly ashamed. And the king said, Tarry at Jericho until your beards be grown, and then return. And when the children of Ammon saw that they stank before David, the children of Ammon sent and hired the Syrians of Beth-Rehob and the Syrians of Zobah, 20,000 footmen, and of King Maacah, 1,000 men, and of Ishtob, 12,000 men. And when David heard of it, he sent Joab and all the host of the mighty men, and the children of Ammon came out and put the battle in array at the entering in of the gate. And the Syrians of Zobah and of Rehob and Ishtob and Maacah were by themselves in the field. When Joab saw that the front of the battle was against him before and behind, he chose all of the choice men of Israel and put them in array against the Syrians. And the rest of the people he delivered into the hand of Abishai his brother, that he might put them in array against the children of Ammon. And he said, If the Syrians be too strong for me, then thou shalt help me. But if the children of Ammon be too strong for thee, then I will come and help thee. Be of good courage, and let us play the men for our people and for the cities of our God, and the Lord do that which seemeth him good. And Joab drew nigh, and the people that were with him, unto the battle against the Syrians, and they fled before him. And when the children of Ammon saw that the Syrians were fled, then fled they also before Abishai, and entered into the city. So Joab returned from the children of Ammon and came to Jerusalem. And when the Syrians saw that they were smitten before Israel, they gathered themselves together. And Hadarezer sent and brought out the Syrians that were beyond the river. And they came to Helam, and Shobach, the captain of the host of Hadarezer, went before them. And when it was told David, he gathered all Israel together and passed over Jordan and came to Helam. And the Syrians set themselves in array against David and fought with him. And the Syrians fled before Israel, and David slew of the men 700 chariots of the Syrians and 40,000 horsemen, and smote Shobach, the captain of their host, who died there. And when all the kings that were servants to Hadarezer saw that they were smitten before Israel, they made peace with Israel and served them. So the Syrians feared to help the children of Ammon any more. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. So we have, once again, more of David's exploits. Now, this is an interesting way that the Lord advances David's kingdom. What does David do? And I think that the advisors are completely out of line here, that David indeed does have a kindness in mind, in that he's going to send condolences and an embassage to Hanun, the son of Nahash, the king of the Ammonites. Now, the scripture does not record specifically for us what kindness it was that Nahash had done to David. Many think that there was a time, and you can read this earlier in 1 Samuel, when the Ammonites came out against Saul, and they fought with him, and that was when, you know, Saul had to depart from following David at that time. And so some commentators think that that's the time that David is referencing here. I was in trouble. They came out against Saul. Saul had to leave off following me to fight with them. So that's the kindness that they did to me. Well, that would be an unintentional kindness at that point. And yet, maybe that's what David is talking about. If it's not that, then it's some other kindness that's not mentioned in Scripture. Okay? So, David sends an ambassage to Hanun, the son of Nahash, and it's really just to send condolences and kindnesses to them. So notice David's intention here. David's intention is upright. David's intention is to be a neighbor to his neighbor and to a fellow monarch and to express condolences upon the death of his father. Well, the advisors, they have a different idea. Hanun's advisors tell him, well, you know why David sent those emissaries. He sent them in as spies. And so they surmised evil about David and David's emissaries. And so they treated them shamefully. They exposed them on the backside and they cut off half of their beard. Now, I don't know, if their beards were down here, maybe they cut it here or maybe they cut it like this. In some way, they had trimmed their beards in such a way that it was a shame to them. And really, we don't need to know the exact terms of that. What we need to know is that they treated them shamefully and then sent them out. So when David heard that, of course, David really doesn't have plans to go after them. He just gives them a place to rest until their beards are grown out again. They can find themselves some good clothing, come back in, and would not be shamed. And so notice how David is the coverer of his people's shame. And there have been more than a few commentators that have recognized that as part of the typology that David represents to us as Christ, because Christ is the one who heals and covers our shame. All right, so then at that point then, Hanun looks around and he says, you know, I've just given myself a black eye with David, and the next thing coming is David's chariots and horsemen, and so I'd better build up my forces. We don't have enough here, and so he applies to the Syrians. And from the Syrians, it seems like the Syrians were, you know, mercenaries for hire. All kinds of forces are mustered from in and around Syria to do battle with David. And so they put their battle in array. It says that David did not move until he heard that they were amassing those forces. And so it seems to me that David did not have an evil desire in sending those emissaries. But hearing then that the enemies were gathering to attack, David does what any king ought to do at that point. And that is, he builds up his defenses and goes out to meet the battle. What happens if he doesn't go out to meet the battle? Well, then Jerusalem is immediately sieged. So he goes out to meet the battle in the field rather than have them come home to Jerusalem, where a siege would then ensue. So he sends out his army, headed up by Joab. Joab looks about and he sees all of these Syrians. Now the Syrians that have been hired, they're mercenaries, men of war. The men of Ammon are really the militia. Those guys were farmers and other types of, you know, cattlemen and so on. And they were raised up to come also to the battle. And so Joab looks at Abishai and he says, okay, here's what's going to do. I'm going to take the choicest men with me and we're going to face the Syrians. I'll give you the rest and you go face the Ammonites. Now that sounds as if Joab says, I'm going to surround myself with the best and you get the rest. But that's not what's going on, because Joab goes to face the trained mercenaries of Syria with the better force that he has from the Israelites, the choice men. And he leaves the rest of those to his brother Abishai, who will take up against the Ammonites, which is more like a militia style force. But I like what Joab says here. This is indeed what we need to remember. What does Joab say? And he said, if the Syrians be too strong for me, then thou shalt help me. But if the children of Ammon be too strong for thee, then I will come to help thee. Be of good courage, and let us play the men for our people and for the cities of our God, and the Lord do that which seemeth him good." Those are wonderful words. What does Joab do? The Lord has put a particular means into our hands. Let's take up that means and let's use it with all of our might. And the Lord do whatever outcome he will do. Right? Again, means belong to us. Outcomes belong to God. And it is the hubris of our race when we manage things for outcomes. The end justifies the means. No, it does not. We shall not do evil that good may come. We shall make good use of what it is that God has put into our hands, and the Lord be with the outcome as he sees fit. Means belong to us. Outcomes belong to God. Well, as the Lord would have a particular outcome that day, both Joab and Abishai and their forces fight valiantly against their respective opponents, and the Lord grants them that their opponents flee before them, and off they go. And so there is indeed a great victory for Joab and Abishai and the armies of Israel that day. And you would think that the chapter might come to a close at that point. However, it does not. Not to be outdone, the rest of the forces of Syria from beyond the river say, "These guys have abused our brethren, so we're going to rise up against them." And so there is a new force mustered against Israel, and this time David himself takes up the command of the army in the field against the Syrians, and the Lord grants a great victory such that the Syrians flee from before Israel, and David slew of the men 700 chariots, that is, he didn't slay chariots, 700 chariot drivers, right? And then, note, 40,000 horsemen, and he took care of he killed the king of their army, or their captain, Shobach, who died there. Okay, so finally then, when all the kings that were servants to Hadarezer saw that they were smitten before Israel, they made peace with Israel and served them. Notice, serve them there means that they probably became tributaries to them, although we don't know how much they gave every year to keep Israel at bay. But we do hear what? That the children of Syria feared to help the children of Ammon anymore. Next time you want to go fight Israel, Ammon, you're on your own. Knock yourself out. We're not going there. The Lord indeed fights for Israel. All right, so we have some typology there in David in that he is the coverer of the shame. He is also the victor against all his and our enemies. And, of course, those are types of Christ there. Notice also that David began this campaign how? With a kindness. David is not this kind of king that says he gets up in the morning, grabs onto his scepter in one hand and his sword in the other and says, "Well, now, how can I expand my kingdom today? Who can I go beat up on today?" Actually, what he did was he got up and he said, "How can I show kindness to a neighboring kingdom?" And in showing kindness then, they attacked him, and the Lord gave them the great victories that they saw. All right, thus ends the reading of 2 Samuel chapter 10.